what we've been doing is I've been doing different pieces from my Sefer, from the upcoming Sefer Be'ez Hashem, and from this one that's coming out very, very soon. I was really hoping by tonight I'd have hundreds of copies here that I'd be able to start distributing, but there's a delay at the docks. I don't know what that means, but not here yet. But anyway, so we're going to do a topic from this Sefer, and throughout the rest of the year, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem will be doing topics from what will Emir Tashem be the next Sefer. But right now, we're going to be doing a topic from Hakona Olamo Chelik Aleph, and it relates to Yom Noraim. I think this is a topic we have discussed in the past, but we didn't discuss the specific relationship to Yom Noraim, which I would like to emphasize tonight. So what you have in front of you, if you took the packet, is a copy of the chapter, Simen Chav Beis, the chapter that relates to davening out loud. Davening out loud is an issue that comes up all the time throughout the year, of course. Every single time we daven, we always have to know what decibel level is the appropriate decibel level to daven at. But it's particularly interesting on Yom Noraim because it seems that, at least according to many poskim, the rules change. Whatever the rules are during the year, they change during Yom Noraim. And that's interesting to explore why that should be the case, why the rules should change on Yom Noraim. Now, we've pointed out in the past, and I'll always continue to point out, that part of the movement to make sure that davening is quiet is, I think, somewhat misplaced. Davening is not supposed to be quiet. There's not supposed to be sichas chulin during davening. There's not supposed to be sicha b'teila during davening. There's not supposed to be kalas rosh during davening. There's not supposed to be all of that stuff. But davening is not supposed to be quiet. It's not supposed to sound like a library. It's supposed to have a certain amount of energy to it. There should at least be a hum during davening. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yom Tov, bein b'Chol, and any day. Davening, of course, during the week is shorter because the Siddur has fewer pages. But it doesn't mean that we're supposed to just zoom through the words during the week and actually say them on Shabbos. No, the whole week it's supposed to be with a little bit of a hum, with a little bit of a sound. Someone just told me last week that I was at a chasana. Someone came up to me and said that he was learning in the Telzer Yeshiva in the 1950s or so, and Rav Gifter was in the front of the Beis Medrash with his back toward the whole yeshiva, and at that time the Telzer Yeshiva was a very popular yeshiva. It was a full giant Beis Medrash. Now it's still a giant Beis Medrash, but at that time it was a full giant Beis Medrash, and Rav Gifter, in the middle of davening, I don't know what part of davening it was, he turned around and he yelled in Yiddish, "It sounds like a library in here!" And people got the sense that maybe he wasn't pleased with the energy level in the room during tefillah. So that, for sure, that is, I don't mean to go on too long of a tangent over here, but I've always said that, you know, I'm sure the people who started the program of Stop the Talking, you know, that they had all those cards and things, and all the gedolim that speak on video, it's so fantastic, it's so wonderful. I'm sure they really, obviously, were completely l'shem shemayim, meant well. I just have a little issue with it. I don't think that should be the goal. The goal is not to stop the talking. The goal is to teach people how to daven. Because if you stop people from talking, so then they're sitting there and they're bored, and they have nothing to do for the hours that they're in davening. No, if you're not going to stop the talking for very long if you're not actually davening. You have to teach people, you have to inspire people to a proper davening, and then hopefully Memela will stop the talking. Rav Moshe Weinberger, who, by the way, will be here in two nights on Thursday night, will be giving a Musar Shmuz, a Sicha, a Tshuva, something on some Divrei Asaurus and Chizuk for us, Bezos Hashem, before Rosh Hashanah. He once told me that the biggest challenge he had in the shul is to tell people, to get people not to shush other people. That he wanted them to show them how to daven. Don't just tell them to be quiet. It's not going to help. It's not going to work. You have to get them to learn how to daven. Okay, so anyway, so given that background, that davening with some decibel level is probably okay, but we know during Shemoneh Esrei that's not the case. That during Shemoneh Esrei we're supposed to be, if not completely silent, very close to it. So where does all of that come from? Now, this the hakdama to this chapter, to this siman, was the fact that a Talmud of mine, I think I mentioned this once at a Shalosh Shudas, said a Talmud of mine once came over to me and told me that he was at davening, he was at shul on Shabbos, and the guy sitting next to him was davening so loud, it was very, very difficult for him to concentrate. And he wanted to know, is it inappropriate for him to tell him, like, there are other people in the room, like, keep it down, not so loud. Is the guy doing the right thing? And maybe we should all aspire to be screaming and shrieking during davening. So that was the background when I started looking into this issue. There are three Gemaras that are relevant to this topic. Gemara number one is a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph. It's at the bottom of page Shin Yud Ches in front of you. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Kama Hilchsa Gavrasa Ika Lemishma Mehani Krai Dechana. There are so many important halachos that can be derived from the psukim about Chana. The Chani Hima Daberes Aliba. Pasuk says the Chana was speaking to her heart. Mikan lemispal tzarek sheichavin libo. We see from there that when someone davens, they have to have kavana. Rak sfaseha naos. Only her lips were moving. Mikan lemispalal sheyachtoch besvasav. From there, we see that when you daven, you're supposed to move your lips. You're supposed to form the words with your mouth. V'kola lo yishama mikan sha'asu lagbia kolo bitfilaso. And you couldn't hear her voice, and from there we learn that one is not supposed to raise their voice during tefillah. So Gemara number one, very clear that one is not supposed to, from Chana we learn one is not supposed to raise their voice during tefillah. A second Gemara, which is really a first Gemara, because it's seven blot earlier in Maseches Brachos, and Daf Chavdalim Beis, which appears on the top of page Shin Yotes over here, Hamashmiya kolo bitfilaso hareza miktane amana. That if a person allows his voice to be heard during davening, it is a sign that he lacks emuna. Hamagbia kolo bitfilaso hareza minaviya sheker. If he really raises a voice during davening, then he is davening in the style of the Nevi'e HaSheker. Because sometimes when people don't have substance, they try to compensate with volume. And if they don't have anything actual, you could turn on the radio to any number of stations and find that when people don't have much to say, they just say it louder. And they hope that maybe they will be heard if they just say it louder. So that is the style of the Nevi'e HaSheker. If they don't have an actual Nevuah to share, so they'll say whatever it is that they want to say super loud. The Gemara then makes an exception. You're not supposed to daven out loud, and it signifies a lack of emuna, and the pshat is because if you're davening out loud, it's as if you're saying that you don't trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to hear you otherwise. But that's only if you're able to have kavana. If you're unable to have kavana, the only way to inspire proper kavana is by davening a little more loudly, then you're allowed to, but then the Gemara adds a qualification to the qualification, v'hani mili biyachid. That's provided that you're davening alone. Aval b'tzibur, asin l'mitzvah tzibur, but you do have to be cognizant of the people around you. And if your davening out loud is going to be distracting to other people around you, that you're not allowed to do, the Gemara says. So that is Gemara number two about davening out loud, and again, pretty clear that davening in general is not supposed to be very loud. Like we said, energetic, yes, a hum, absolutely, but it shouldn't be a loud tefillah that everyone could hear the words, that everyone in the room could hear the words that you are saying. Then there's a third Gemara, which is in the middle of page Shin Yates over here, the Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Beis. V'am Rab Yochanan Mishum Rab Shimon Ben Yochai, Mipnei Ma Tiknu Tefillah Belachash, Kedei Shelo Levayesh Es Ovrei Avera. Why were they misaking tefillah quietly? So why were they misaken to daven quietly? Not to embarrass Ovrei Avera. Now this is an entirely different reason. Nothing to do with your level of emuna. Nothing to do with how distracting it's going to be to other people. But when people daven, they pour their hearts out. Hopefully, that's the ideal. And if a person has what to be ashamed of, and he has averus that he's davening to try to do tshuva for, there is this concern that he's going to be embarrassed because everyone is going to be listening in and they're going to hear what he had done. I think someone told me once that, was it someone in the room? Someone told me if it was them. Someone told me they were once at a cemetery and a guy said, oh, come here, I need a minion. And he schlepped some people together for a minion. And he said, I need to ask Mechila for my ex-wife. So he wanted a minion to ask Mechila. His ex-wife was dead. So he went to the kever, like the Shulchan Aruch says, to go ask Mechila in front of a minion. And he started enumerating all the things that he had done. And by the time he was done, no one wanted to talk to him. I mean, the guy was like saying, yeah, and that time that I was abusive and like, you know, like really horrible, horrible things that, that he was saying. So you can imagine that's embarrassing for a person to share something like that publicly. Okay, whether that's the right thing to do or not, I think we spoke about that once. That's a different topic. But you can imagine if someone's pouring his guts out, he's saying everything that that he's done wrong, it could be embarrassing. So we don't want that a person should have to be embarrassed. So all three Gemaras and Shas that I'm aware of that speak about whether the decibel level at which one should daven are all on the same page, meaning they all say quietly, a person should not daven loudly. However, there are two sources in Rishonim, significant Rishonim, that seem to imply otherwise. And I think once we study the issue of davening loudly on Yom Noraim, we'll be able to understand where these Rishonim are coming from. Because normally, you know, if you have a Stira in Sugyos, you have a Gemara that sounds this way, a Gemara that sounds that way, and a Rishon takes a stand that sounds more like one side, okay, so the whole avodah is to figure out why are you passing like that Gemara and not like that Gemara. But when you have, you know, three Gemaras that all say the same thing, and then Rishonim take the other side that doesn't even exist in Chazal, how could they go against? You have a major kasha. How could they go against the Divrei Chazal? The two Deos and Rishonim that we find that seem to praise a type of davening which involves a high decibel level, which involves Tefillah B'Kol, are the Ramban Ala Torah in Parshas Bo, and Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Ramban Ala Torah in Parshas Bo says Havizar B'Mitzvah Kala K'B'Chamura is on the bottom of page Shin Yates. Shekulan Chamudos V'Chavivos Ma'od, because they're all so precious and so beloved, so a person should be careful about every mitzvah. Shebekol Shah Adam Modeben Le'Elokav V'Kavanas Kol HaMitzvah Shenamin Be'Elokeinu V'Nodei Elav Shu Bareinu. Every mitzvah plays such a critical role in our Avodas Hashem, in expressing our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Hi Kavanas HaYetzira, we're created here to serve Hashem. She'en Lanu Tam Acher V'Yetzira Rishona V'Ein Kel Elyon Chafet Why does God put us here? So that we can recognize Him and be grateful to all the things that He does for us and recognize the fact that He is the Ribono Shel Olam. V'kavanos romumus hakol b'tfilos v'kavanos batei knesios uzchus tfilos harabim zehu sheyeh lebnei adam makom yiskabtzu v'yodu l'kel shebaram v'imtziam v'yifarsmuze. He says, how do we do this other than doing mitzvahs on a consistent basis? How else do we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we get it, we know why we're here, we know why we were created, and we recognize you as our creator? So what does he say? Romamus hakol b'tfilos, to raise our voices in tefillah. That's an interesting lashon. That's a very expressive lashon. I would have said, to l'spalel b'kavana. No, romamus hakol b'tfilos, and to go and be mefarsim as much as possible. V'zehu kavanasim b'mash amruzal v'yikro l'elkim b'chazaka mikanat lam shetfil tzrich kol chatzif v'netzach levisha. He says, and that's what the pasuk means when it says in Yonah v'yikro l'elkim b'chazaka. What does it mean with strength to call out to God with strength? It means with a loud voice. That when one davens, one should daven loudly. So that is one source in Rishonim that seems to indicate davening loudly is a positive thing. The other source is a Tosos in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Tosos is discussing over there the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we're certainly going to starting on Motzai Shabbos. With the Slichos, we're going to be getting used to saying the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kalach, Mecha. So there's many Deos in Rishonim even how to split them up into 13. What are the Yud Gimel Midos? And then what does each one mean? Meaning that they're each telling us something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or about, better said, not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't possibly understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? When we understand the Torah, it's like the Mashal HaKadmoni. It's a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or like a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we could never possibly understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a description of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us, of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos in dealing with people are. So in that context, what is chanun? Says Tosfos, Avalchan, this is the middle of page Shin Chaf. Avalchanun hu shechonin be'is hadchak ligol hatsoek. That in a time where we are pressured, we're in a time where we are feeling a sense of lachat, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu will redeem us when we cry out. Kedichsiv chanun yachnecha lekol za'akecha. Umidazu kavayachal shabal koach yesh lo lachun ala tzoek af shalo kedin. See, sometimes a person will ask you for a favor. And you'll say, I am sorry, I'm too busy, can't do it. But sometimes that same person, and it could be you don't owe the person a favor, adrabe, they owe you favors, and you have no reason to do anything for them, they haven't been nice to you, and there's no reason to do that. But they start crying, and they start screaming, and they start crying, and you see that they're getting hysterical, and they don't know what to do with themselves. And all of a sudden, things change. You have no reason to do them a favor, and had they asked normally, you would have said no. But because they're asking with such desperation, and because they're crying out, so you feel that you need to help them, because you feel that they are completely dependent on you, and that they won't know where else to turn. So the Ribono Shel Olam, that is chanun, that when we cry out, say the Balei Tosfos, to the Ribono Shel Olam, in a way where it's not just, oh yeah, you know, Ribono Shel Olam, Rafa'enu, Slach Lana, whatever, you know, however long it takes, 3 minutes, beginning to... No, when we're crying out to the Ribono Shel Olam, we're Ein Lanu Al Mi Lihishein, El Al Avinu Shebashamayim, we have nowhere else to turn, and we know that it's all dependent on you, and we are crying and screaming to the Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more ready to listen to our tefillos, more receptive to our tefillos. So that is Tosfos. Now, Tosfos, again, seems to highlight this idea of crying out, of screaming in tefillah. So what is this? This doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara took the opposite side. The Gemara said, no, there's no crying out, there's no screaming, there's silence. It has to be belachash. Chana medaber saliba, kol lo yishama. Chana did not allow her voice to be heard. So in order to deal with this issue, let's add one more question before we deal with the issue, and that relates to Chana, and Chana certainly plays a critical role this time of year as well. The Tefillah of Chana is celebrated on Rosh Hashanah when we read about it. The whole back and forth with Chana and Eli is very difficult to understand. Eli was surprised that she was davening quietly. Right? It certainly took him by surprise. Why was he surprised if that's the halacha? Meaning, Chana didn't invent tefillah. Tefillah existed before Chana, right? So, what was the halacha before then? So, if most people daven loudly, so what, it was a takana derabanan made by Chana, a takana derabanot made by Chana that you're supposed to daven quietly. And prior to that time, it was normal to daven loudly. And if she's right, and she was right, if the halacha is as the halacha said, it always was the halacha, how did Eli not know how to daven? He's a Kohen Gadol. How do you not know how to daven? What was he confused about? It's a very strong question in terms of just trying to figure out what exactly was going on in that whole story. And that is the kasha the Marsha asks in Maseches Brachos. So what I'd like to do now is to skip ahead a little bit in this chapter and go ahead to page Shin Chav Vav. And let's turn to Yom Noraim. And through our understanding of Yom Noraim, hopefully we'll be able to at least come to some answer of all of these questions. The Torah writes in Simen Kuf Aleph that even though one is supposed to daven quietly, on Yom Noraim, the minhag Yisrael is that we scream, that we daven loudly. Minhag ha'olam to be mashmia kol b'tfilah, and that is the minhag of the Jewish people. Says the Beis Yosef, it's against all the Gemaras. How can we have a minhag that goes against all three Gemaras that we had that tell us to daven quietly? So the Beis Yosef develops three approaches as to how this minhag developed. If you look at the Beis Yosef, it's on page Shin Chavav, it's the that block quote toward the bottom of the page, V'hu tamiyali tuva. Says Beis Yosef, where does such a minhag come from? He says, you know, when I was younger, I saw a sefer that really wasn't happy with this minhag. But then I found a justification in the Piskei Tosos. Brachos Rosh Hashanah mitokta in regilim behem mashmiim kolam. V'gam yesh ben brachos haruchos umata echeles chavero lefichach shliach tzibur motzias harab miyidei chavasam ad kan l'shono. That the Piskei HaTosos says that since people are not used to these brachos that we say in Yom Noraim, it's only a once a year kind of tefillah. You know, some you ask someone, say the Rosh Hashanah Shmoneh Esrei by heart. Not so easy, right? We're not going to know Malchus, Achronos, Shofros by heart always, the order of the Pesukim, to remember all the Pesukim. Not so easy. So people aren't sufficiently familiar with it. And if one person is saying it, if everyone is saying it, and they could easily get confused. So the Shliach Tzibur would be Motzi everybody. So how does that explain why we all say it out loud? So says the Beis Yosef, Harei Shenosim Tam Lamashnagul Lashmiya Kolam Shum Neshem Regilim Behem. That the reason we raise our voice is because they weren't used to it. Meaning, what he seems to be saying is that they used to not daven a silent Shemoneh Esrei at all in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They would just listen to the Shliach Tzibur because no one knew how to daven a silent Shemoneh Esrei. So when they were being yotzei their silent Shemoneh Esrei, it was through the kol ram of the Shliach Tzibur. So that's how the minhag developed, that everyone just davens loudly. That is a very difficult explanation. Why is that a difficult explanation? Okay, true. Nowadays, that it should no longer apply. We all know the nusach we have machzorim. But even aside from that, what happened back then? We had a shliach tzibur. What?
Everyone was quiet.
Everyone was quiet, right? Meaning, how did the minhag develop that everyone should be loud? Because once upon a time, everyone said nothing. Everyone was absolutely quiet. And you know who was loud? The Shliach Tzibur. Guess what? Shliach Tzibur is still loud. You know, he still does a Chazar Sashatz. So how does that explain why everyone's loud during the silent Shemoneh Esrei? That doesn't make any sense. So what the Beis Yosef is probably driving at is not that this logically explains the minhag, but sometimes maybe it just explains the Hishtal Shalos HaDvarim. Like, how did we end up here? So, okay, we can see where the misunderstanding happened. That because there was this idea of the Shliach Tzibur having to be super loud to make sure that everybody heard, because they were all relying on him, so then even when we started the Daven on our own, that was the only way we knew of Tefillas Yom Noraim, because that's the way it happened. So we davened out loud. If that's the other weakness in the explanation is, so Yom Noraim are the only Tefillas that we're not super familiar with? I mean, you would imagine that there are other tefillos throughout the year that people aren't, that people aren't super familiar with. Okay, Sholosh Regalim, because we say it, because Sholosh Regalim come up more frequently than Yom Noraim, but how much more frequently? Why do we make that assumption? So it doesn't seem that there's anything like qualitatively different about Yom Noraim according to this approach. Then the Beis Yosef says, I have a second reason. Ve'efshol osis tamacher. Lefi sheim yimei tshuva, mashmim kolam kedei lechavin yoser. No, Yom Noraim is special. These are days of tshuva, so we need more kavana. How do I know that davening loudly gives you more kavana? That was Gemara number two that we had, right? The Gemara said, don't daven out loud unless you're having trouble having kavana. If you're having trouble having kavana, good, then daven out loud. And, says the Beis Yosef, the concern that we normally have, right, what did that Gemara say? Yeah, daven out loud if you're having trouble with Kavana, unless you're in shul and it's going to bother other people. Yom Noraim doesn't bother anybody. And Yom Noraim, it's everyone's so zoned in on their tefillah that you davening loudly is not going to distract them whatsoever. They have the things that they're praying for are too important to allow a little bit of noise to distract them from their tefillah. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be distracted. And one could argue that adrabah, you know, even some people who might normally get annoyed by a loud davener near them, on Yom Noraim, they tap into it almost. Like you hear someone davening and you hear that it's a heartfelt tefillah near you, it inspires you to greater tefillah. Our hearts are a little more open on Yom Noraim to that kind of experience. Of all the times that I've heard in my life, someone saying, you know, I was davening in front of or behind or next to this and this person, and it was so inspiring, it was almost always a Yom Noraim tefillah. Right? It almost always happens in Yom Noraim. Of all the times that I've heard, I was davening behind, in front of this and this person, they were davening so loudly, and it was so annoying, it was almost never a Yom Noraim tefillah. Yom Noraim is just that people have they're annoyed by other things, but not by nice davening. Then says the Beis Yosef, then I found a Mordechai and Yuma. Sha'afal pi shekol yimos shanim espalim belachash, ki alfinim parakei nomdin, we cried the chana v'kol lo yishama, even though the rest of the year we daven quietly, mi ubrash shanu v'yom kippurim, omer b'kol ram, kidei she yilmedu ze eze, that people should be able to teach each other. Meaning, just like the first answer said, people weren't familiar with the Nusach, so that's not why we davened quietly, we didn't say anything. No, adrabah, those who knew, everyone who knew, would say it a little bit more loudly, so that if someone was stuck in the middle, they would sort of pick up with whatever their neighbor was up to, and they'd be able to pick up with it. And we're not worried that people are going to make mistakes, because people have makzorim, kedabrinim, yerushalmi, etc. Good. So the Beis Yosef essentially gives us three reasons why Yom Noraim is different. Number one, people are not so familiar with it, so they used to rely on the Shliach Tzibur, who would daven out loud. We pointed out the difficulty with that. He was probably just explaining how the minhag developed. Number two, it's Yimei Tshuva. So everyone is having a greater sense of Kavana and needs a greater sense of Kavana. No one's going to distract each other. A louder davening makes for a helps us with aids in Kavana. And number three, in the name of the Mordechai, the Heter of Yom Noraim is learned from Yonah, that we find that it's the Yolada Davin B'Kol Ram, if the, I mentioned it earlier in the piece, but we didn't do it tonight, that if B'nai Beiso are going to learn from you, if other people are going to learn from you, you're allowed to Davin B'Kol Ram, so in Yom Noraim, where not everyone knows the Tfilos, you could Davin B'Kol Ram, because other people will learn from you. Okay, that's the Beis Yosef. Now, Luch Ora, Beis Yosef writes, what about the fact Shalol Levayish over Avera, meaning we had three Gemaras that told us to daven quietly. Chana, which didn't really explain why. Then we had Miktane Amana, that it's a lack of Amuna, but we said, but if it helps with Kavana, that's okay. So we're okay with that Gemara, because even though it's generally Miktane Amuna, but if it's going to help with Kavana, it's okay. And then we had Shalol Levayish, not to be Mevayish over Avera. If that's the reason, Yom Noraim should be much, much worse. Right? Meaning, the only time during the year where we're actually saying our Averos is in the Tefillos of Yom Noraim, specifically Yom Kippur, when we say Vidui. Other than that, we're never actually saying our Averos. You know, like, have you ever been in Shul and you see, Salach Lanov Ki Chatanu? Oh my God, that guy is Chatanu. What kind of guy is that? No, we're not actually saying the Averos, we're just saying what we do. But on Yom Noraim, a person is supposed to say an actual Vidui. So it happens to be we formalize the text to the point where, like, you know, it's no longer an issue. You know, a guy is talking about his vi'idas nus and whatever, and no one's looking, going like, oh, whoa, what, you know, what's that guy up to? We don't have any such concerns because it's a standard text that we have. But nevertheless, you would think that the concern would have been greater on Yom Noraim when we have Ashamnu Begadnu Al Chetcha Chatanu Lefnecha and all of the rest. There is a tshuva sefer called Siach Yitzchak that explains the Yom Noraim issue. He says, if you're going to assume that Yom Noraim is different and that you're allowed to daven more loudly and different, he says, now I can explain what was going on in the conversation between Eli and Chana. If you look on page Shin Chav Chas in the block quote, Uktsas hochacha yesh mi uvdu dechana ve'eli, sheyesh l'espal b'shmias kol. He says, there's a little bit of a proof from the story with Chana and Eli that you're supposed to daven out loud. Why? Dechsiv v'yachsheve Eli l'shikora. It says that Eli thought she was drunk. So, mak shema olam, manavshach, Eli ochana, echon me'am asa shalok adin. One of these great tzaddikim didn't know how to daven. Right? Either Chana was right, and Eli never knew that you're supposed to daven quietly, or Eli was right, and Chana was making up a whole new way to daven. Umetartzim, so he says, this is the answer. The reason we learn on Rosh Hashanah is because this happened on Rosh Hashanah. Chana nifked of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara tells us. Chana's tefillos were answered, were listened to on Rosh Hashanah. The Eli HaYosover Shimas Palelas tefillos Rosh Hashanah. So you see a woman davening in shul on Rosh Hashanah, or in the Mishkan on Rosh Hashanah, what do you naturally assume? That she's davening tefillos Rosh Hashanah. Al Kim Garba, Mashalo Yishmias Kola. That's the way you daven Rosh Hashanah, quietly. That's a random Tuesday in the middle of January davening. That's not a davening for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah we daven. The Beis Yosef gave three reasons that we daven out loud in Rosh Hashanah. Kibur Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mashmim, Kol B'Tefillah. Avda Enes Chana Lo Yisem Espalel Sos Tefillas Rosh Hashanah. But Chana wasn't davening with Tefillas Rosh Hashanah. What was she davening? She was davening for a child, the same way she was the rest of the year. Rak Espalel B'Tzorcheha. Dahainu Shiula Banim. Such a tefillah, there's no need for a shmias kol. So he says, why is it that we're allowed to daven the tefillas of Rosh Hashanah out loud? Everyone has machzorim. You're not going to confuse anybody. But you're going to start saying your own personal things out loud. It's going to be very confusing to other people. So the minhag was never to say your personal things out loud. And that might explain why the Gemara in Sota is not a problem with this. Meaning whatever is personal that you're inserting into your tefillah, ein achinami. You're not supposed to say out loud. The only part that you're supposed to, because lo levai yishover aveira. Anything that's personal, we're not going to say out loud, not to be distracting to other people. But something that's not personal, and that's part of the basic text of the Rosh Hashanah davening, that certainly should be out loud. And the Siach Yitzchak writes that it's not only on Yom Noraim. He then takes it a step further, and he says, any time one is davening Be'es Tzara, it's automatically you're allowed to daven out loud. Tefillah Be'es Tzara is fundamentally different, and it could be done, out loud. I Mashmiya Kol B'Tefillah Miktamei Amana. So there is a Rambam, Hilchos Tainios. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Hilchos Tainios. This is at the very bottom of page Shin Chav Ches, the last three lines. Mitzvas asei min haTorah lizok ulaharia b'chatzotzos al kol tzara shetavol al tzibur. To be zoik and laharia b'chatzotzos. What does it mean to be zoik? Zoik means to cry out when there's an actual tzara. So when it's normal circumstances, in a chanami, we have to daven quietly. But be'is tzara, we're supposed to daven loudly. So the heter of davening loudly by Yom Noraim is because Yom Noraim are considered, l'chora, a form of es tzara. What makes it an es tzara? Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Ufanav, Kadosh Baruch Hu is deciding our whole year, right then, during the Yemei Hadin, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, during Yom Kippur, and therefore, that entire time period becomes an Eis Tzara. It's one and the same. The Heter of Davening Alad and Yom Noraim, the Heter of Davening Alad Be'is Tzara are one and the same. The Ramban, in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos HaSei Hei, says that, this is a well-known machlokas, Ramban. Is there a Mitzvah Daraisa to Daven every day? So the Ramban writes, no, the Mitzvah to Daven is Be'es Tzara and only Be'es Tzara. Now, putting two and two together. If you hold like the Ramban that there's only a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven Be'es Tzara, and you hold that the reason we daven out loud in Yom Noraim is because Yom Noraim is by definition an Es Tzara, it would turn out that according to the Ramban, even according to the Ramban, there's a chi of d'oraisa to daven in Yom Noraim. Meaning the chi of the rest of the year may only be the Rabban unless you have an Es Tzara, but on Yom Noraim, it's by definition an Es Tzara. And there will be a Chiv Daraisa. And in fact, Rav Yerucham Olshin, in his Sefer Yerach L'Mo'adim, brings a raya to this from the Beis Yosef. Because the Torah writes, in Siman Tafresh Beis, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, the Torah writes, and there's in the first block, quote on page Shin Chav Tes, V'no'agin b'svarad, shagam b'shabbos marbin lomar slichus v'tachnunim, that on Shabbos Shuva, people say slichus v'tachnun, v'anita mi'al min hagam, shareyen rin b'shabbos. You know, you're not supposed to cry out on Shabbos. You're not supposed to do bakashos or any of that stuff on Shabbos. This past Shabbos, I don't know, I was away, but the OU is recommending that they say Tehillim in all the shuls on Shabbos. That's unusual. We don't normally do that. But we thought that the majority of the Jewish communities in Florida would be under 8 feet of water by now. I mean, thank God the Boca Raton community was able to have a Hakaras HaTov to the Ribbono Shalom concert the other night, that the winds blew just the right way, and that, or I mean, obviously the wrong way for those that blew on, but you know, the major population centers, at least, were avoided, certainly the major Jewish population centers. So we're not supposed to generally do that on Shabbos, but in Eis Tzara, You're allowed to. Generally speaking, we don't. We don't do bakashos even. You know, my practice is I don't even bench past Ali Chasreinu. I don't even do the harachmans. Don't do bakashos on Shabbos. My kids always say that. You know, if they're ever working out in the gym and someone comes over to them and says, hey, how much do you bench? They say, just to Ali Chasreinu. So it's a Leibowitz family joke. They're all that funny. We don't do this on Shabbos. So how are we allowed to do this on Shabbos Shuva? So comes the Beis Yosef in the next block quote, and he says, "Nir liten tamnu min hagam, sheim sovrim da lacha command yamar matrin b'Shabbos al ir sheikifu agoyim, o shutfu a nahar l'fishu davar nachlitz." You're allowed to say Tehillim when there's a hurricane coming. You're allowed to say Tehillim, and you're allowed to cry out when there is an invading army coming. V'kivan debas service may tshuva hatfila nishma as yosim ribiyam macherim v'gamba osam ayamim ha'adam muchan lios nigmar dino biyam kipurim ein l'cha davar nachutz yosim izeh. This is a Beis Yosef. This isn't like a Musar Sefer that was written 5 years ago. This is Beis Yosef. He's saying lahalacha. That la'alacha yom no rayim is an eis tzara. He doesn't use the term eis tzara, but what does he compare it to? A city that's surrounded by an invading army. He compares it to a city that's about to be entirely flooded. He says, yeah, yom no rayim is like that. And therefore on Shabbos Shuva, tachnunim, tza'akim, all that is okay. The Siach Yitzchak then adds that the Magen Giborim writes, in the name of the Tmim Deim, that normally a yachid is not allowed to daven b'lashon arami, because the malachi asharis are not niskakim b'lashon arami. But someone who's mispalel b'dima v'tza'aka in a time of tsar, however you want, even b'lashon arami. Meaning, tefila is fundamentally takes on a different form when it's a tefila based tsar. According to Ramban, it becomes a daraisa. According to everything we've been saying, Siach Yitzchak and others, you're all of a sudden you're allowed to say it out loud. You're allowed to be tzoik on Shabbos. You're allowed to daven b'lashon arami. What all of this points to is that there's a basic fundamental difference between a tefillah during Yom Noraim / be'es tzara versus tefillahs the rest of the year, and tefillahs when they're not be'es tzara. Based on that, maybe we can understand the Ramban and the Tosos that we had trouble with before. Like we said, we had three Gemaras that all told us that we're supposed to daven quietly. So, we had Ramban and Tosas telling us that we're supposed to daven out loud. So it could be that the Ramban and Tosas were talking specifically about a tefillah be'es tzara or a tefillah b'yam noraim, which has a din of es tzara. And therefore, you're allowed to be mashmiya kol b'tefillah. In the Sefer Yeruch Lamoadim, Rav Yerucham Olshin, fantastic Sefer, by the way. Rav Yerucham Olshin is one of the four Rashi Yeshiva in Lakewood. I don't know if the others have produced many svarim, but in recent years, Rav Olshin has produced many, many svarim on the Moadim. Lamdish Shiurim, and also beautiful Divrei Drush and Agada. Really, really fabulous Torah, and he must have a team of people working for him, because they're putting them out quickly. He's got like 6,000 people that technically could be working for him, but they're putting them out, and he's a really beautiful Torah. He has a discussion there in Rosh Hashanah Simen Gimel, where he discusses, is the heter to daven out loud in Yom Noraim a separate heter from Eis Tzara, or is it the same heter as Eis Tzara? So he tries to show that he has a mabit, that he tries to prove from that mabit that it's all the same thing, like we've been saying. But then he says he's not so comfortable with it. He's not sure that it's the same. He's not sure that Yom Noraim Tefila is an example of Eis Tzara. It may be an entirely different heter. Why? He says a tefila b'tza'aka is different than a regular tefila. Any tefillah you could do loud or you could do quietly. So if you're magbiya kolo b'tefillah, so it's miktane amana. Why? Because why would you be magbiya kolo? Because you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't hearing you. But a tefillah of tza'aka could not be done quietly. It's by definition not tza'aka. The cheftza shel tefillah of tza'aka is to be megale your tzar, to express the tzar in a way that it's evident to anyone who sees you, and therefore the whole iser of davening quietly wouldn't apply to a tefillah of tza'aka. So he says that when you're dealing with a regular discussion about tefillah, so you could talk about a higher decibel level to help kavana, but not if it's going to distract. That whole conversation can apply. But when you're dealing with a tefillah that by definition is a tefillah of tzaka, so then there's no conversation. It's not, oh, is it going to distract? Is it not going to distract? It's irrelevant. It's not a tefillah of tzaka otherwise. Meaning that it's a different form of tefillah that can only be expressed when it's expressed loudly. Having said all of that, and all of this explanation about what makes tefillah of Yom Noraim unique and that we're allowed to daven it out loud, the Mekubalim are still against it. The Mekubalim are very against davening out loud in general during the year. In fact, there is a... Rav Mordechai Eliyahu published a couple of volumes of Shailos and Tshuvos. So in his in the introduction to one of the volumes, he has like a beautiful essay on the effect of Kabbalah in Halacha. Essentially, the theme of the essay is, without saying so, it's to take issue with Rav Avadia Yosef's approach toward this topic. There's a lot of that in the Sephardic world. Rav Avadia Yosef was the most prominent Sephardic rabbi since at least the Ben Ishchai, but possibly the Rambam, in terms of like his impact on the Sephardic community. So he had certain very definitive ideas of how things had to work, such as, Maran Beit Yosef is the end-all and be-all, even if your minhagim for centuries were otherwise, that all of Sephardic Jewry should unite and rally around Maran Beit Yosef. So there are Moroccan rabbis that are still, to this day, very upset at him about that, and, are publishing Sephardim to say, no, we have to follow our own traditions, our own community's traditions. So it's an interesting thing. But one of the things Rav Avadia has is he doesn't particularly think that Kabbalah should have a significant role in Halacha. He thinks it's a separate limud. Not that not to chas v'shalom look down at Kabbalah, but it shouldn't have a major role in halacha, unless mamash the halacha has nothing to say about it. Mordechai Eliyahu tries to develop the idea that very often the Kabbalah gives us a deeper understanding of the halacha, and the Kabbalah can tell us where in halacha to place the emphasis. It's a fascinating read. He has a lot of examples of where there are deos in halacha of what to do, and the Kabbalah sort of shows us where the dagesh should be put, where that emphasis should be put. And one of his examples is, we have all these gemaras about tefillah, belachash, about davening quietly, but if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to daven loud enough that you can hear it. How many people in shul actually do that? The daven loud enough, shmona esrei, that they can hear it with their own ears, right? That's the ideal level. Loud enough that you can hear it, not loud enough that somebody else could hear it. I would venture to guess that the majority of people don't do that. So I always thought, because they don't know the halacha. Says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, no, it's because they know the Kabbalah. Because the Kabbalah tells us that that's the ideal way to daven. Meaning there are these ideas of lachash versus kol ram, so the Kabbalah sort of gears us in that direction. But so much so that the Mekubalim are all against even tefillah b'kol ram, even on Yom Noraim. They don't even like it on Yom Noraim. Now, even having said that, it seems that the minhag is to be a little more open with how loudly we daven, how free we are with our voices during tefillah on Yom Noraim, and that creates a certain sense of lachatz, a certain sense of it in fact being an eis tzara, like we've been suggesting, and why we're actually allowed to daven out loud. Having said that, the Ramad does add shalolag biyakolo yoser midai, that it should still be within limits, because you still don't want to disrupt other people. And the Gra says that the Ramah's concerned about Domel and Vie Abal. You should still look like a mensch when you're davening, but it should be a heartfelt, energetic tefillah that is done with less of a concern of, oh, are other people looking at me? Does it look strange? Does it look different? No, we're just here to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we let our guard down a little bit in doing so throughout the Yom Noraim. So essentially what we've covered tonight is how tefillah in general is supposed to be a fairly quiet experience. The minhag already dating back to the times of Rishonim is that in Yom Noraim it's different, it's louder. Three explanations of the Beis Yosef why that's so, but then we had that overarching explanation that maybe Yom Noraim has a halachic status of Nes Tzara, where we're supposed, the chiyuv is tzaaka, which by its very definition is a tefillah b'kol.